Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our Renew series. Last time, Rick hosted a conversation about renewing volunteers and leaders, and today we're going to focus on the subject of all-age worship. My name is Ruth Bromley and I am PCI's Children's Development Officer and I am your host for this episode. All-age worship has always been a part of the ongoing ministry within our congregations. Whether it's a twice a year Christmas Nativity and Children's Day services or a more regular monthly occurrence, many churches have some sort of all-age service on the annual calendar. Over the last couple of years, there may also have been more all-age services than normal, with spaces in congregations being limited. Keeping the church family together has been an option for making use of the space and time to worship together. However, simply keeping children in a normal service aimed at adults is not the same as an all-age service. And in fact, I think many of us struggle with all-age services and are unsure how to reach everyone within the time we have. And because of this, it often becomes a children's service rather than a time for all ages to learn and be challenged together as they worship God. So joining me in this conversation today are Nikki Bradley from Knock Presbyterian, James Coisley from Bloomfield Presbyterian, and Mort Moorhead from Scripture Union. And they're going to share some ideas and stories of all-age worship from their experience. So thank you to the three of you for joining with me today to chat about all-age worship. And maybe you could start by introducing yourselves a bit more than I have already, telling us who you are and where you're from and your involvement in your congregation. So could we start with Nikki and then James and then Moore?
Yep, my name's Nikki Bradley. As you've said, I live in Belfast. I work at Knock Presbyterian as the Children's Director, and I've been there for about 15 years. So that's in East Belfast.
My name is James Coisley. I'm from Belfast, married to Kerry, I've got three girls. I'm a teacher and I grew up in Belmont Presbyterian, but for about 16 years since we got married, we have been members in Bloomfield Presbyterian. And for about the last 10 or more years, I have headed up our children's ministry programme. We call it Kid Zone. I suppose a bit like Sunday school, ranging from nursery age up to primary seven.
And my name is Mark Moorhead. I'm currently employed by Scripture Union as the school's ministry manager. Before that, I worked in Hamilton Road Presbyterian for many years as children's worker. And then after that, we moved to Ballydown Presbyterian Church, where I volunteer in their children's ministry.
Brilliant. Thank you. Today we're talking about all-age worship, something that many struggle with. It's a type of service that many find difficult to do really well, and yet it's something that we still include as we plan for services. Can you tell us, just to start off with, why you think all-age worship is important? Mark, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I just love the coming together of everyone, regardless of who they are, you know, regardless of their age or their stage or even their level of spiritual maturity. I just think it's the one place when we're all together in that setting that we're all kind of on a level playing field. You know, we can all connect with song worship and with prayer and with the Bible and with God, you know, and God will speak to us all, you know, regardless of where we're at. And so I think there's that element to it. And also the fact that, you know, in all-age worship, you know, I have two children and they can see what it looks like to love Jesus into your 80s, you know, what it looks like to worship together in your 80s, you know what I mean? I think that's a really valuable part of all-age worship.
Brilliant. James, why do you think all-age worship is important?
Yeah, I think the clue really is in the name, that all-age, it doesn't say it's a children's service. And for me, it's very important that it really embraces not just young and old, but it's people who have maybe come to church for the first time and have no idea what the Bible's about, or people who are mature in their faith, but also those that are immature in their faith and maybe are new to Christianity. So it's that embracing of everybody. Obviously, you're adding children into the mix, which is the abnormal thing than a normal service. So it does generally have a focus on the children. And to me, a really important part of that is you're giving children a bit of ownership in church worship. and a feeling of involvement and participation and belonging. And to me, that's a really important part of it, that they feel what it's like to be in church and they feel part of their church.
Brilliant. Nikki?
I think all age worship can be incredibly joyful. It can be very chaotic at times. I think there's a sense of joy that you get that you maybe don't get at other services. I think we're the people of God, so we need each other. So we need to be around each other. We need to connect with each other. We need ways of building relationships between us and obviously with God. And I think that faith is formed when we're together, when we're in community. And so, as James and Mark have said, we can see all ages worshipping and we can see faithful practices. And that's how we learn to worship as well, through being around and amidst each other.
And I think there's a power in it being different than a normal service. There's a, as you say, a joy and a life in it. And the children bring a vitality and a colour to worship. And I think that's really important and appeals to different learning styles, if you like. You know, the people who, you know, are more visual and the more interactive things that are going on. So I think it appeals to that too. And maybe taps into a different side of people's thinking and way of worshipping.
I was going to say, yeah, because it lends itself to innovation, doesn't it? You know, whenever you've got children in the mix, you have to start thinking about it. Can't just be quite stand up, sit down, sing this, you read this, listen to this. It has to be another element to it, you know, another bit of creativity added in. And when children are there, suddenly adults are up for stuff they would never be up for on any other Sunday, which is just incredibly exciting.
And I know just from growing up as a young adult and then in an adulthood, I often got more from a children's address than from a sermon. And I think that's true of a lot of people, that sometimes a more simple message or a pared back message can be quite striking and memorable.
Yeah, brilliant. So all age worship, we've kind of said, is not the same as simply having children present in a typical worship service as it happens. And we kind of need to change the posture of worship as it would be on a normal Sunday to make it truly all age, not for adults, not just for children, but for both and everything in between. So Mark, thinking of your experience being a children's worker for a long time and maybe also experiencing Scripture Union, what are some of your top tips for planning and doing all age worship? And what do we gain from that? And how we do that worship?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've said it a few times, like all of us have said it tonight, all age worship, just remembering that it's all age, you know, it's for everyone. The children will be there, but so will hopefully the very oldest members of our congregations, the very youngest and the very oldest, worshipping together. And it's trying to be mindful of that then when we're planning. And when you're even simply selecting songs, you know, it's not just a load of action songs we're singing, you know, or songs that have maybe come out in the last 10, 20 years, but it's looking to the theme of the service and reaching back through the history of all the music we have, going back to the Psalms, you know, and just selecting what is appropriate for the service rather than what is appropriate for the children that are there. And so I think whenever we do that, we just remind people who have come before, people who are maybe older in the congregations, that, you know, our legacy or our history is safe in the hands of our children. You know, it's something that's not going to be thrown out as time goes on. So it's trying to incorporate everyone so people don't feel left out. It's trying to think about church family rather than families, and so that someone can come along, whether they're single or married, whether they're young or old. And so it's making sure that nothing's happening that just is all about the children. And then we used to love involving children in the planning of all age services, you know, and getting them to think about the various elements that might be there and that they might incorporate. And then we also thought that the timing was really important, you know, and we tried to not have the all age services last much longer than 45 minutes. We felt anything more than that became a real endurance test. Our barometer, one of our barometers for success in all age service was the fewer children who needed to use creche, the better. You know, if a parent felt that they could keep their young children in for the whole service or as much of the service as possible, we thought that was pretty successful in terms of just being able to engage a whole church family.
Yeah, brilliant. Nikki, do you have any other top tips for planning and doing all age worship?
Yeah, I suppose there's several ways of doing all age worship. There's all age worship services, but then there's also, most of our churches will have some time each week where we're all there together. And I think it's as important to put time and effort and thinking into how we shape that. So that is all age, as well as our sort of more expanded services where then children don't go out to their programmes. I guess be prepared. You know, if everybody knows what they're doing, a service will go more smoothly. People will feel more comfortable to do this again and have one big idea. I think have one theme that runs through the whole service so that all the different elements are linking in with that. Even if it's just your first 10, 15, 20 minutes that the children are in or young people are in as well, just having one theme that runs through so that they're going home with one message and ringing in their ears. And yeah, I think I would also say, be interactive, try take a little risk with some things so that people are not just consuming what is happening, but they're actually participating. So whether that's participating from the front or just participating from where they're sitting, finding ways of having interactive prayers, actions are great for kids as well.
Yeah, great. Now, obviously, Nikki and Mark have both worked full time in a church. James, you are a volunteer who does this in your spare time. Do you have any top tips as a volunteer instead of a full-time employed person as well? Might you probably look at it slightly differently than a children's worker would?
I suppose you maybe don't have quite as much day-in, day-out time to put to it, but I know personally I would put a lot of time into initial planning of something like a one of our kids' own services. And then it's harnessing a team of people around you. You know, we're very blessed with a lot of people who can take on different roles and responsibilities. And I always think, well, I suppose whether you're a youth worker or whether you're a volunteer, it's not about me being at the front of the service. You know, it's about trying to get the children as much as possible or young people up at the front. And so they're leading the service. So it's not about, you know, a performance by some of the leaders. But yeah, it takes time and effort and a huge amount of planning. And although in saying that, I think you don't aim for perfection or slickness. Those can't be your barometers for success. You know, there's no doubt you need to think about logistics, and moving children around and things is not easy, whether it's timing or where they're going to. And even things like holding their attention. I can remember a classic children's address actually in church where a guy was taking it and he decided he was going to use sweets as some sort of visual aid. But he decided to pass the bag around the children at the start of it. And so everything he said after that, the kids were just playing with this bag of sweets and passing it around. You know, it was a bit of a schoolboy error that he made, and he learned from it. He realized straight away. But so there are things like that that you've got to definitely consider and think through with children involved, the time it takes, where they're going to stand, all that sort of stuff is important. Mark was saying about just, but that all age idea, there's no doubt it's about making things accessible to people, and simple things like using a different version of the Bible or prayers that are written by children, so they're being prayed in their own language. Those sort of things make a difference. And songs, as Mark said, songs are really important, and I think we all know there are adult hymns that are oriented towards adults that even adults find hard to access and understand. So you can certainly use adult oriented praise, but also it should be accessible to younger people. And the same the other way around. I know we've got songs that we might sing in kids' own, but maybe wouldn't do in a church service, you know. And it doesn't mean they're wrong, it just means they're maybe not suitable for a worship service or for older people to embrace, perhaps.
And that's really important, isn't it? Thinking both ways in all age services. Now, Nikki, you've just completed a dissertation. Intergenerational discipleship was part of the master's that you've been doing. Could you tell us a bit what you discovered in terms of that in an all age worship context and what we could learn from that?
Yeah, so I just finished before Christmas, which was good to get it finished and completed. So it was great to actually spend a year being able to talk to people and just research this a little bit more, because it's something I know I'm interested in and our church has been really interested in. And I guess that one of the key takeaways for me, I think I've probably already said, is just that faith is formed in community. So we need to be together, and our children, how we pass faith on in the Bible seems to be primarily through sort of familial groups, but family bigger than what we would know family as today. So groups of people of different generations, and just the importance of passing faith on through the generations for our faith, for our community. I think worship gatherings play a really important role. And in the Bible, again, we see how children were involved in those worship gatherings. Think about something like Passover, that boys and girls are present at it. I think I learned from talking to people that there's a real desire to be together. There's a real desire to connect. And that word came up time and time again, to connect with God, to connect with each other. But there's also a bit of a frustration that at times we shape our church life so that we're not connecting, so that boys and girls go one direction and adults go the other. And that's not always bad. I think there's a real place for age-specific teaching and worship and all of that, but we do it a lot, it seems. And so I think there's a bit of a frustration and just a little bit of how do we actually then get back together and how do we do this if we separate a little bit more than we're together. And there's also probably a frustration that worship is quite adult orientated, so we're always trying to adapt what's essentially an adult sort of structure to fit children in. So I guess two sort of things that came out of that for me were really trying to reimagine how we do discipleship, which is probably a bit beyond the scope of this conversation, but in smaller groups where there's all ages together regularly meeting, and worship would be part of that, but maybe also worship experiences where I guess this term faith expanding experiences where we're together and learning from each other and faith is growing. So one thing we did recently, which was never planned as a sort of all age thing, was a campfire praise night where we sat out in our car park and had fire pits and we sang a few songs and then we chatted to the people around the fire. We sang a few more songs. People shared why they picked the songs. And that was a really great all age night, you know, relatively straightforward and a really powerful night. And then I think just in terms of our worship together, I think just as I've said, remembering that there are times every week that children are there, but all ages are there. So how do we incorporate that sense of all age together? And we've already referred to using more inclusive language, songs, that sort of thing. But also, are there ways we can reshape our worship when children are in? Does it have to look like an adult service slightly adapted for children? Or can we be thinking and learning from each other as to how to do something different, which is much more participatory, where we're more involved and where we're learning from each other and sharing from each other? And I think one other thing that really came across for me is communion. So that seemed to me a place where what we say and what we do don't seem to always match. So we talk about being a family and how important sacraments are, but quite often our children aren't present during communion. So I would love to see an all-age sort of liturgy for communion being developed that we could include children in, that children could be present during that really important church family event. So those are just a few things that I think came across. But yeah, people really want to do all age worship, but there's still this gap of exactly how we do it. So.
Yeah, I love that idea. I always or often say to people, you know, communion is one of the most amazing visual aids we have of the gospel and what Jesus did, and yet we so often keep it covered when the children are there. And one of the other things she said there was a faith expanding experiences. And I love that, that phrase of how we can help everybody expand their faith experiences. I don't know, James and Mark, have you any comments you would make on those sort of things that Nikki has been learning as you think of your context and your experience of all age worship? Mark, do you want
to? Yeah, well, I mean, I just taking Nikki talked about, you know, connection, the desire we have to connect with one another. And when Lindsay and I moved church, you know, we moved house, I mean, I'm looking for a new church, you know, we were really taken with the number of churches that sort of through the front door and adults went one way and children went the other, and there was really no point at which children could really connect with adults at all in the service of worship. And I thought that was just something's lost there, you know. And just how can we help people connect with one another? How can we, you know, we would have done things in church like, you know, turn to the person beside you even if you don't know them and just discuss things in the pew, you know, raise a question, you discuss with one another and have a bit of feedback so that people are connecting with one another. And so if someone comes all by themselves or someone comes with a family of five, they have a chance to connect with someone else. And so I think if we can outwork all age worship, you know, on any given Sunday, that first 20 minutes or half an hour where people can connect with another, that'd be really, really valuable. I just thought one of the things I always find really interesting with children, whenever they were planning all age services or planning all age worship, that when given a total blank sheet of paper, they often just went for the hymn prayer sandwich. You know, that's what they've seen. That's what they know. And so whenever you're trying to sort of, what about other elements? They often then they went for things they'd seen done before. And so I was always challenged with how can we get children, even children, when they're thinking about how to do church or what church might look like, to think outside the box. And I wonder if one of the opportunities of COVID. Now the church's services have changed slightly, you know, and how they look, or maybe even in their timing. Could one outworkings of all that be that maybe we can adjust how we do things on a Sunday morning, you know, not never losing sight of, like, you know, worship and prayer in the Bible of things we want to do, but, you know, other ways we can do this. I think this, yes, it's all very enticing and intriguing and exciting to think about.
Yeah. James, did you have any thoughts on some of the things that Nikki has been talking about and what she's been learning?
Yeah, certainly. And there's lots in that. And the idea of an all-age time in the service that we narrow down to a children's slot, a kid's slot. And we have had discussions in church quite a lot, mainly among the kids' own team leaders. And how can we, I suppose, encourage the ministry team and whoever leads our services to embrace young people in particular right from the start of the service? And again, we've all sat in services where the first hymn and the first prayer, they've turned you off, you know, and that's as an adult. And that's not to be overly critical of anybody. They might fit perfectly what the service is about, but you can lose people very quickly. And children, I suppose, you know, can we use songs that are more child-friendly? Or can we use prayers that are shorter, just shorter, and think about the terminology perhaps? I've seen, you know, some ministers do it very, very well. It takes thought and it takes a bit of planning and might be slightly outside their normal way of speaking or organising things. But I think that's really important, that it's, you know, the children's slot becomes like, right, kids zone out for 10 minutes, then you can focus for 10 minutes on the kids slot and then you go off to kids zone and or Sunday school. And yeah, I think that's something that could be adapted or tweaked or changed to make children feel part of things right from the start. Yeah, I also like the idea of the communion. Again, it's something that at times we have discussed, and I can remember a few years ago, I can't remember exactly how it worked, but we kept the children in for communion. It was a deliberate thing to show them what happened. It's such a mysterious, wonderful thing, but kids don't really have a clue what happens. I know also in Kids Zone itself, we have set up tables and had the children sitting and sort of had, you know, a form of bread and wine to show them the symbols and talk about it. And we didn't have a communion service, but we talked about it and what it meant. And I think that there's a bit of debunking, perhaps. You know, we have baptisms, child baptisms, perhaps, in churches, and the kids see all that. But communion is definitely something that they don't have a huge idea about. As you say, it's crucial to our faith and a great visual aid, one of the few visual aids we actually do in normal worship services. The other thing, I think, the idea of all age and learning from each other, this intergenerational thing is fascinating. And I know as I've got older, that the people older than me, I have learned so much from. And there are moments you get where you know, they're not just an old person. They're a person who has lived through so much and experienced so much in faith and in life. And I know at times, you know, maybe you've done services where you interview somebody or somebody tells their testimony or their life story, and you get so much from it. And children can learn from people. We've brought people out to Kids Zone at times to tell their story, and the kids are fascinated by it. During lockdown, we did a sort of online video series. All our stuff was online at that stage. And we did a spotlight series where each week there was a different Kids Zone leader or somebody from the congregation who talked about their favourite Bible story and talked about how they became a Christian and talked about, and some daft things as well, but it was, the kids loved it and they got a lot from it. You know, that idea of learning from each other is a crucial part of developing faith.
Absolutely, and we could make so much more use of that in all age services and hearing from other people in the congregation and what God has done in their lives. Now, James, you are obviously a volunteer, and I know you put a lot of work into the all age service you do, and I know that they're not independent of Kids Zone. Can you tell us a wee bit about how that works, how you plan your Kids Zone weeks, and then how you plan your all age services to link in with that?
Yeah, okay, so we would have probably about 5 or 6 all age family services during the year in church. Some of those are dedicated to Harvest or Easter, those sort of special events. There are 2 that are completely in the Kids Zone team's control, usually one for Christmas and then one sort of in June time. And as much as possible, we try and link those with whatever we're doing in Kids Zone, whatever theme we're running. I think we have a general, hopefully an ethos of we're trying to bring Kids Zone into church. And so it's not a satellite, that Kids Zone is not just childcare, that the parents and the congregation are aware of what's happening in Kids Zone as much as then the children are aware of what's happening in church. To talk about Kids Zone, to help give it a framework, we have three main teaching themes, one every term really, usually about a 12-week theme, which effectively runs a bit like a holiday Bible club. And each week then we'd have a more interactive approach. So it's not sitting around a table, it's more dramas and memory verses and action songs, things like that. So that then is transferable into a church service. It works quite well. And if we're doing a theme on Joseph, then the Kids Zone service will hopefully then be related around that story so that it all flows and is not just a discrete topic. Another thing that we have done in church more over the last few years is that the church sermon series will tie in with what we're doing in Kids Zone. Sometimes I've created a theme or we've created a theme and the ministerial team have decided to use it as well in church. So it's been a nice crossover and link. It doesn't always work, but it is good when it does work. Two main services then that we are in charge of. Again, yes, we'd like to make an impact and we do try and shake things up a bit, I suppose, and not in a crazy way, but just, yeah, we like to make sure that people know we're there. And it's pretty interactive. Yes, there's talks and there's lots of prayers and there's songs and worship, but also memory verses and maybe, you know, things like craft, where you've got everybody in the church doing a quick and easy craft, something to take away with them. Interactive prayers, all those sort of things are, yeah, designed, I suppose, to target all ages and to make an impact so that people go away with some sort of visual. We decorate the church, you know, with banners or hanging things up or maybe a backdrop of some sort, and all that again helps, again, just to make that visual impact. One other element that we've worked hard on in Kids Zone is this idea of open prayer, of kids praying out loud in a group, possibly a small group, but also in a large group of maybe 30 or 40 children, and either passing a microphone around or even a pretend microphone. And we've brought that into church, and it works best with something like a thank you prayer. So thank you God for, and all the kids have to say then is a few words, and some say more than others, and some say, you know, more spiritual things, and some say candy floss, or, you know, or things that are meaningful to them, like helping my granny get better. And the congregation have responded so well to it. They just feel it's heartfelt. And whether it can be a bit daft, the odd thing they say, you know, you open up a mic to a child and you can get the odd random thing. But it's their prayer and it's their thought. And it's been a really, really effective thing to do. And it needs developed so that they could possibly pray not just thank you prayers, but other types of things too. And I suppose another overarching thing we try and do is not make it a performance, and I think that's really important, that, you know, kids standing dressed up at the front can very easily be a performance, but that it should be worship. And so yes, there are times when we bring kids to the front and they do a little drama or they pray or something, but I suppose we draw away from the kids standing in front and singing to the congregation. Or and if something needs rehearsed, it's lightly rehearsed, and it's not a case of, you know, there's always going to be an element of some sort of standing at the front, you're presenting something, so you've got to do it as well as you can. But I think it can very easily turn into a performing occasion rather than a service of worship. So the children are leading and they are engaged in the worship rather than putting on a show.
And that's such an act of service. You know, it reminds them that they're there to serve the congregation. If they lead worship rather than cute kids singing cute songs. You know, and there can be some space for that sort of thing. I know we're not saying that there's not, but yeah, definitely they're there to serve the congregation by leading in that way.
Brilliant. Mark and Nikki, you've obviously heard what James has said about the sort of things that they do in their old age services, and I know you've both done lots of stuff for old age service, and you've helped us with sessions on our children's ministry course in the past on this particular topic. Can you tell us something of your experience of ideas that you have used in all age services that have worked really well? Nikki, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I think a couple of years ago, just thinking about how to do all age worship differently, I guess, and how to really think about all ages using gifts together, participating together, and then coming together to sort of share and celebrate, we changed the format of how we do it pretty much entirely. So we have run a couple of services called, we call them Everybody Sundays. The first one we did was based around the fact the verses in Corinthians about being a body. So that's where the name Everybody Sunday came from, but we've just kept it. So for the first hour or so, people come to church, But instead of going straight to sit down, we have different, I guess, zones, activities. I don't know what the best word for them are, but they're definitely all age rather than just for children. There is some craft, but there's also, we've used a scratch choir. So people go in and learn a song in 20 minutes. So they don't have to be perfect at all. You just learn a song, bash it out in 20 minutes. A little drama, again, in 20, 30 minutes, learn a drama. And you kind of rotate around a couple of things. Done a little Bible study for those who maybe don't want to sing or do drama. And we've had a prayer room. It's a sort of idea that you could create and do huge, or you could do really simply with just one or two elements that people can move around. There's tea and coffee as well for those who want to be part of it, but don't really know what they want to join in on yet. And then after about an hour, we've come into the church and had, I guess, a service. Although I would say that actually from the moment we enter, it is church. We're together. It's just a different way of doing it. We just call that our celebration. And the scratch choir leads us in worship. The drama people do their drama. We hear a talk. And then we generally have tea and coffee afterwards, or if it's summer term, a barbecue or something like that. And those services have been great because people come in from worshipping together in other ways. You really, I think, really up for it, really up to be together because they're connecting, they've chatted, and then they come in and we're celebrating who we are and who God is together. And so I've loved being part of planning those and just running those and seeing how they've worked. They are quite different, but I think they are achievable, probably for most congregations in different levels. A bit like messy church, but with a lot more emphasis on all ages and different activities that would draw in all ages, I would say. So not just craft, although that is an element of it. So the Everybody Sunday is probably quite different, but we really enjoyed them.
How often would you do that?
Well, pre-COVID, we did three. We did a nativity, so we did like a scratch nativity as part of that. They made their costumes and they brought them in, and we did a wee Bible study at Christmas prayer room. So I think we've done three. We're really itching to do another one, so we're trying to work out how we can do it even amidst the restrictions at the minute, and then hopefully as we come out of that, that'll be a really lovely way to celebrate that, hopefully, as a church family together.
Yeah, I always think that provided that you communicate well, and you provided that you really make sure that you are, you know, I guess honouring the Bible, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, I think anything really can go in that regard. I think the things you want to put into the knowledge service, the added ingredients, the extra elements should serve the word, you know, rather than the other way around. So it's making sure that what you want to teach is the first thing you're looking at, and the idea you have around that maybe comes secondary to that. I think sometimes changing the seating, if your building lends itself to moving the seating around, you can do all sorts of things. We once took all the seats out and put them in a circle, you know, and people sort of sat looking at each other, and that was really powerful, you know, to worship and be looking at one another as we worship together. If you are doing that sort of thing, you know, we're always really careful that we communicated that well in advance, like Nikki said that earlier on, just so that people knew that maybe if they were used to sitting in the same seat, that seat wouldn't be in the same place. You know, people, especially those maybe with additional needs who wanted to know things in advance, we were very careful that we made that known. But yeah, that did go well. The children's storyteller Bob Hartman recommended that an all-age service could be posed in the form of a story. So rather than saying good morning, welcome to church, you say, you know, once upon a time or a long time ago, and you weave a story throughout the service so that everything you're doing and saying lends itself to part of that story. So the prayers and the music and any talk you might have as part of the story. We have used dramas, you full plays as part of an old age service, you know, and just sort of, you know, like went through all the acts, and every act was interspersed with a song or a prayer or a Bible reading. Sometimes we would have recorded video footage in advance, you know, rather than having a full drama. Those are really good. But just, you know, sometimes with people being less regular to church, it was good to have the footage in advance so that you could lose a bit of the cringe factor or go, here, where's Simon Peter? And really hasn't shown up for the drama. And so that always worked very well. And you can then again involve more people in camera work and in light and all those different things, you know, so you're involving more people in the service. Also using things like what's hip and happening at the minute, you know, and we did things like Mexican Waves or Mannequin Challenge, that sort of thing, that just, you know, lends itself well to that sort of setting when children or young people are there. people will be up for it and do it. You know, I'm sure TikTok has a whole load of ideas that you could bring into an all-age service or an all-age or that sort of setting. That would be really good fun, but could make a point if you're careful about that. And then also, Fishy Music has really good songs for all-age worship, you know, really accessible, clear songs that for the whole church family. So yeah, there are loads of good things. But I think, like it's been said already, sometimes you have to, I say this about once a week, have to sacrifice perfection for inclusion. So sometimes it will be wee Johnny, he isn't great up front, but he really wants to do it. Wouldn't be as good as you could do it, but actually, you know, it's great because he's there. And I think sometimes you have to just bear that in mind as well.
And as much as COVID has been difficult, we've had all-age services where the kids haven't been able to gather at the front of the church sanctuary. And so we've done online things and recorded them saying prayers. And, you know, you might ask you for a thank you prayer, and you've got 30 or 40 kids on a little prayer video who wouldn't all speak in the church service, you know, and they can see themselves on. So that, you know, there are little things that have been positives, I suppose, we can take out of the last wee while, you know, and using videos can be a useful little tool in a church service like that.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you. We ask all participants at the end of our podcast to share a piece of scripture that's spoken to them. And I was wondering if each of you would be willing to share something that helps you as you think about all-age worship and the topic that we've been thinking about. Nikki, would you be happy to go first?
Yes, so this is a scripture I've heard quite a few times in the past 2 years particularly, and has become sort of special. So it's Zechariah 8:4-5, and it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, once again men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with a cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there." And it's that idea of this vision of what restoration looks like, and it looks like the oldest and the youngest being safe, but also being cared for, being near each other and being joyful. And through COVID, that kind of kept me going, that image of boys and girls playing together again, and old people feeling safe to come out. So I just love that idea of us as generations enjoying each other and enjoying life together.
Great. Thanks, Nikki. James, would you like to share something with us?
Yeah, I thought of Luke 18:17, which says, "Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will never enter it." And it's a well-known verse, obviously, and it's definitely speaking about this idea of accepting and believing with childlike humility. But to me, it's also about this idea of receiving the kingdom of God. It's not just about going to heaven. It's about the kingdom of God now in your lives and how we live out faith and experience God on a daily basis. And, you know, as adults, we can become so cynical and boring and lose our sense of wow. And maybe all-age worship is a chance to sort of try and recapture and experience God with more childlike characteristics. You know, that openness of a child with their emotions and their feelings and the creativity and imagination we've talked about, the wonder and awe, the joy and the hope, and with playfulness and humour at times is a useful thing. And the energy that the children bring and the exuberance. And I think as adults, all-age worship gives us a way of doing that and seeing children doing it. And hopefully in some way we can engage in that ourselves.
Great, thank you. And Mark, would you like to share with us to finish?
Yep, I always come to Hebrews 10, 23, 24, 25. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And I just love that picture of a church family spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. You know, the idea that we wouldn't grow weary or tired of meeting together, but we would come together and encourage one another. I just love that. You know, I love that for, you know, how a very little child can really encourage an adult or, you know, someone, you know, much older than them, and how someone much older than them can really encourage a little child by taking just the slightest bit of interest in them or admiring their pretty dress or what they said in church and thanking them for taking part. You know, I've seen children collaborate and deliver a sermon together to encourage adults to live for Jesus. And again, I think, oh, that's so powerful. So we all have a role to play in that, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds and encouraging one another. Yeah, and I just think all-age worship is just the place where that can really be brought home.
Great. Thank you so much to the three of you for joining me in this conversation and for sharing some of the stories of your experience in all-age worship over the last little while. And for anyone listening, if you need any help with all-age worship in your congregation, please feel free to get in touch with me in Assembly Buildings. And before I go, I want to bring a couple of things to your attention and hope they'll be useful. There's an article in the latest edition of the Herald magazine about children on a Sunday morning in church, and it's available as a free-to-read article from the Presbyterian Church Facebook page from this week. And also coming up in the next couple of months is a brand new initiative. Blaze the Bee is a new way of helping children and families and congregations right across PCI to explore how God is at work in the world and what it means for them to be a global disciple, doing what they can to play their part in God's global mission. This includes learning about and praying for global mission workers, God's church around the world, and a Christian approach to big issues like creation care. And the Blaze character will be provided to your congregation for use in children's addresses and other activities such as Sunday school or uniformed organisations, and also in all-age services. So if you're a minister, watch out for Blaze the Bee information coming soon. And if you're a leader or a parent, ask your minister about the arrival of Blaze in your congregation at the start of April. You can check out presbyterianireland.org for other resources, events and initiatives over the coming weeks. But for now, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.